As you've learned in Section 1, 4DX is an operating system for achieving the goals you must achieve. In Section 2, you'll learn what to expect when you install 4DX with your team and the specific steps for doing so. You'll benefit from the experience of thousands of work teams who've committed themselves to the same exhilarating challenge. Please keep in mind that 4DX is not a set of guidelines, but a set of disciplines. Installing 4DX will require your finest efforts, but the payoff will be a team that performs consistently and with excellence. This section is designed to guide you in installing 4DX. Think of it as a field guide with all the information to ensure your success. If you're a senior executive who will lead the efforts of others in implementing 4DX, you'll find it a valuable overview of the journey. If you're a leader who will be implementing 4DX with your own team, you'll find a detailed roadmap of that journey. You'll appreciate its value once you begin. In either case, you'll likely refer to this section many times during the implementation and again over the years as your experience with 4DX grows. Before we begin Section 2, I'd like to cover what to expect. The famous Greek myth of Sisyphus tells of a man whom the gods punish by requiring him to push a boulder up a mountain. Each time he reaches the peak, the stone rolls back down, and he has to push it back up the mountain all over again for eternity. It's a little like the feeling of leaving work at the end of an exhausting day without being able to point to a single significant accomplishment, and knowing that tomorrow you'll begin pushing that boulder all over again. Jim Dixon, the general manager of Store 334 in a large grocery chain, felt very much like Sisyphus every day. Store 334 had the worst financial performance of 250 stores in the division. People didn't want to shop there, and they didn't want to work there either. Every day, when Jim came to work, he would do what he called the head slap over the same old problems. Shopping carts and trash all over the parking lot. Broken bottles in the aisles, big gaps in products on the shelves. Nothing in that store happened until Jim told somebody to do it, or he did it himself. Midnight often found him stocking shelves or mopping up spilled milk. Not only had he hired people to do these things, he had hired people to hire people to do these things. Like Sisyphus, Jim felt he was pushing the same boulder up the hill every day, just to watch it roll down again. He never had time or energy to actually move the store forward in a significant way. Jim had been considered a high potential leader when he was put in charge at Store 334. Now he seemed to be a low potential micromanager. When we met him, he'd been working 16 days straight and hadn't taken a vacation in over a year. Sales were way down, while employee turnover was way up. The vice president of human resources confided to us, Jim's either going to quit, or we're going to have to let him go. And with all he had to do, you can imagine how delighted Jim would be to go to a four disciplines workshop on top of everything else. In December, too, which is the busiest time of the year for the grocery business. But for Jim and his department heads, the wildly important goal was no mystery. If they didn't meet the year-over-year revenue figure, the store itself was in danger of closing. Nothing else really mattered. However, the tricky problem was determining their lead measure. What could they do differently that they weren't doing already? What would have the most impact on driving up store revenues? Jim and his team were pretty sure that if store conditions improved, revenue would improve. After all, a clean, attractive, fully stocked store would draw more customers. So each department individually came up with the two or three most important things to measure for that department, and they decided to score themselves daily on a 1 to 10 scale. For example, in the meat department, it would be fresh cuts in a crystal clear display every day. For the grocery team, it would be shelves in the produce department fully stocked by 5 in the morning. And in the bakery, hot, fresh bread on the racks every 2 hours. At the end of this process, Jim and his team had a plan. They would start executing immediately, and the assistant manager and the department heads would update the scoreboards daily. The bet was that as store conditions improved, so would year-over-year revenue. It felt like it just might work. That morning, they posted the scoreboards. And that night, the employees tore them down. The next day, Jim and his team put the scoreboards back up again, but the whirlwind of the day-to-day pressures sucked the department heads right back to where they had been before. After 2 weeks, the five departments were averaging 13 out of a 50 on a scale they'd created themselves. Jim was frustrated, and the wildly important goal was in real trouble. Later in this section, you'll see why, and you'll learn the rest of Jim's story. Now I'd like to address the stages of change that you and your team will pass through as you implement the four disciplines of execution. Because changing human behavior is such a big job, many leaders face challenges like these when installing 4DX. In fact, we've found that most teams go through five distinct stages of behavior change. And in this chapter, we want to help you understand and manage your way through each of these stages. Stage one is getting clear. In stage one, the leader and the team commit to a new level of performance. They are oriented to 4DX and develop crystal clear WIGs, lag and lead measures, and a compelling scoreboard. And they commit to regular WIG sessions. Although you can naturally expect varying levels of commitment, team members will be more motivated if they are closely involved in the 4DX work session. Now, to understand stage one, let's begin to follow Marilyn, who's the leader of the surgical nursing unit at a large inner-city hospital, as she installs 4DX with her team. She and her team face a whirlwind like no other, because lives literally depend on how well they execute dozens of surgeries every day. Marilyn's team had recently seen a sharp rise in the perioperative incidents. That means things that go wrong in surgery. Despite the raging whirlwind of an operating room, they all shared a passion for reducing these incidents that endangered their patients. In their 4DX work session, they translated this focus into a wildly important goal. Their wildly important goal was to increase surgeries without perioperative incidents from 89% to 98% by December 31st. Marilyn and her team then carefully reviewed the factors that caused the most incidents, as well as those that created the greatest risk to patients. And in the end, they isolated two lead measures that would give them the greatest leverage. The first, to achieve 100% compliance on all pre-surgery audits at least 30 minutes before the surgery. And second, to double count surgical items following 100% of their surgeries. Now that Marilyn and her team had a wildly important goal, which is discipline one, and they had two high impact lead measures, which is discipline two, they designed a simple scoreboard, the practice of discipline three, for tracking their performance. And finally, they scheduled a weekly WIG session to hold themselves accountable for continuous progress despite their whirlwind. This is discipline four. As they closed the team meeting, Marilyn looked forward to the launch the next week. In fact, she had never felt clearer about a goal and a plan. And the rest, she thought, would be easy. Of course, she was underestimating the task. The reason this happens is the inherent difficulty of changing human behavior in the midst of a raging whirlwind. And success starts by getting to crystal clarity on the WIG and the 4DX process. Remember these key actions in implementing 4DX during stage one. First, as the leader, be a model of focus on the wildly important goals. Second, identify high-leverage lead measures for your team. Third, create a compelling players scoreboard. And fourth, schedule WIG sessions at least weekly and actually see them through. Now let's talk about stage two, the stage of the launch. At this stage, the team is at the starting line. And whether you hold a formal kickoff meeting or you just gather your team in a brief huddle, you launch the team into action on their wig. But just as a rocket requires tremendous, highly focused energy to escape the Earth's gravity, the team needs intense involvement from the leader at this point of the launch. Marilyn launched the 4DX process beginning with the first surgery of the week, Monday morning at 7 a.m. And by noon, the team was already struggling. The lead measure required the nurses to do equipment audits 20 minutes earlier than normal. But the schedule change and a new checklist confused everyone. With a full surgical schedule and a nurse homesick, Marilyn's hands were full and her team was scrambling. That first morning taught her about the problems of executing in the midst of the whirlwind. Marilyn also noticed some were more willing to change than others. Her top performers were succeeding, and although it wasn't easy, they seemed to relish the challenge. However, two of her most senior nurses still wondered why the change in the audit routine was really needed, and they complained about the added stress. Furthermore, Marilyn saw that the newer nurses, those who were not yet comfortable in their roles, were actually slowing down the audit. That week, Marilyn realized that what seemed so simple to plan was actually very difficult to launch. She faced not only a whirlwind, but a team with mixed motivations. The launch phase of 4DX is not guaranteed to go smoothly. You will have your models, meaning those who get on board quickly. You will also have your potentials, those who struggle at first. And you will have your resistors, those who don't want to get on board at all. Here are some keys to a successful launch. First, recognize that a launch phase requires focus and energy, especially from the leader. Second, remain focused and implement the 4DX process diligently. You can trust the process. Third, identify your models, your potentials, and your resistors. And we'll be talking more about these three groups in the sections that follow. Next, let's cover stage three, the stage of adoption. In stage three, the team members adopt the 4DX process and the new behaviors drive the achievement of the WIG. You can expect resistance to fade and enthusiasm to increase as 4DX begins to work for them. They become accountable to each other for the new level of performance, despite the demands of the whirlwind. In stage three, Marilyn worked hard to maintain focus on the WIG. Her team adjusted their schedules and they refined their methods of scorekeeping. She also trained and coached her potentials, and she counseled the resistors about the need for change. Each week, Marilyn's team worked at the lead measures, and they slowly began to improve. When they met in their weekly WIG sessions, they first reviewed their scoreboard, and then individually, each of them made commitments to move the needle on the scores. Before long, Marilyn sensed that the team was finding its rhythm, and the incident rate began to decline. As soon as the team saw that the lead measure was working, their excitement began to grow. For the first time in many months, they began to feel that they were winning. Recognize that adoption of the new 4DX process will take time. Adherence to the process is essential to your success on the WIG. Be respectful, but be diligent about sticking with the process. Otherwise, your whirlwind will quickly take over. Remember these keys to a successful Stage 3 adoption of 4DX. First, focus on adherence to the process before focusing on results. Second, make commitments and hold each other accountable in a weekly WIG session every single week. Third, track results each week on a visible scoreboard. Fourth, make adjustments as they are needed. Fifth, invest in the potentials through additional training and mentoring. And six, answer straightforwardly any issues with resistors and clear the path for them if needed. Now let's talk about stage four, the stage of optimization. In stage four, the team shifts completely to a 4DX mindset. You can expect them to become more purposeful and more engaged in their work as they produce results that make a difference. They will start looking for ways to optimize their performance because they now know what playing to win feels like. Over the next 8 weeks, Marilyn was so pleased with her team's progress and with the steady, though small, decline in surgical incidents. But she also knew the team would have to pick up the pace if they were to reach their WIG by the end of the year. And she wasn't sure what more they could do. In the WIG session, later that same day, Marilyn's nurses surprised her by proposing changes to the lead measures. First, they wanted to reposition the equipment trays in the operating room so that they could do their audits more quickly and accurately. Second, they realized that if they audited the operating rooms for both the first and the second surgeries simultaneously at the beginning of their shift, they could stay ahead of their schedule throughout the remainder of the day. Third, they suggested the patient transport team notify them as soon as the patient was on the way to surgery. This would give them extra time to cross-check the operating room one last time. Marilyn was pleased and surprised that her team had found these ways to optimize their own performance. It also struck her that if she had proposed these things herself as the leader, the team probably would have resisted the extra work. But because the ideas were now coming from the team, they were not only willing to do them, they were excited to carry them out. Marilyn had created a game that truly mattered. And now, her team was playing to win. Ultimately, the nurses took full ownership of the process. They continued coming up with new ways to move the lead measures, and the lag measure continued to rise. Their weekly commitments were precise, and their follow-through was excellent. The WIG sessions were tightly focused every week on results. But what really fascinated Marilyn was this new level of engagement and energy she had never seen before. And if you're consistent about 4DX, you can expect your team members to begin optimizing it on their own. Here are the keys to making the most of Stage 4. First, encourage and recognize abundant creative ideas for moving the lead measures, even if some work better than others. Second, recognize excellent follow-through and celebrate success. Third, encourage team members to clear the path for each other and celebrate it when it happens. And fourth, recognize when the potentials start performing like the models. Now let's talk about Stage 5, the stage of building habits. In Stage 5, 4DX becomes habitual, meaning you can expect not only to reach the goal, but also to see a permanent rise in the level of your team's performance. The ultimate aim of 4DX is not just to get results, but to create a culture of excellent execution. At the end of the year, Marilyn proudly walked to the podium amidst enthusiastic applause at the hospital's annual meeting. It was hard for her to believe that only 11 months before, she had been facing a true crisis, a rising perioperative incident rate that could have impacted her job and, much more importantly, the lives of her patients. Now, she and her team were being recognized for having exceeded their goal and for the lowest incident rate in the hospital's history. Marilyn knew that the change in her team went far beyond the achievement of their goal. They had fundamentally changed the way they performed, and in the process, they had developed habits of execution that would ensure future success. The behavior changes that had been so hard to make in the beginning were now the standard performance for her team. In essence, the practices that reduced surgical incidents were now normal in her whirlwind, and because of them, her whirlwind had become far more manageable. In the end, Marilyn knew that the team could sustain a whole new level of focus and commitment, and as they turned to a new WIG, she knew they were on a winning track. 4DX is habit-forming. Once the new behaviors become ingrained in the day-to-day operation, you can set new goals and still execute with excellence again and again. Here are the keys to help your team make 4DX a habit. First, always celebrate the accomplishment of the WIG. Second, move immediately on to new WIGs in order to formalize 4DX as your operating system. Third, emphasize that your new operating standard is sustained superior performance on lead measures. And fourth, help individual team members become high performers by tracking and moving the middle. Let's talk about moving the middle. As we've said, people generally deal with change in one of three ways. First, there are the models. The models are not only the top performers, but they are also those people on your team who are the most engaged. They embrace 4DX enthusiastically, and they use it to take their performance to an even higher level. They are also the ones you'd most like to clone. Next, we have the resistors. The resistors are the opposite of the models. When you introduce 4DX, some of them will tell you why it won't work and how impossible it will be to implement given the demands of their whirlwind. Others will simply withdraw from the effort and hope no one notices. But 4DX makes their resistance highly visible to everyone. As one of our clients remarked, when you implement the four disciplines, there's no place to hide. Most people fall in the middle, between the models and the resistors, and they represent your greatest potential leverage for improving performance. The potentials are those people with the capacity to be top performers, but who haven't yet arrived. Some of them may lack the focus on goals or the specific knowledge they need to improve. Others may need the added pressure of accountability to motivate them to the next level. The performance of any group of people generally breaks into three large categories. About 20% of the group will fall into the category of resistors. Another 20% will fall into the category of models, leaving the largest segment of your team in the category called potentials, about 60%. Natural variability in any system produces this curve, called a normal curve. You will always have a top 20%, who are your pockets of excellence, and you'll always have a bottom 20%, who are the inevitable weak performers. But you will have a middle 60%, the majority of the people on your team, and people who could do better if they were motivated. These are the potentials, the people who could contribute much more if they only knew how. Of course, the numbers vary, but what if that middle 60% performed more like the top 20%? In fact, what would it mean to your performance as a team if there were almost no resistors and only a small group of potential, leaving most of your team, the vast majority, in the category that we have called models? You see, in 4DX, this curve shifts toward better overall performance as the middle performers consistently rise to the level of the top 20%. In other words, because more people are doing things better, the curve shifts right and tight all the time. Meanwhile, in an ordinary team, normal performance remains what we could characterize as left and loose. For example, a hotel that is satisfied with normal guest satisfaction scores is likely to be left and loose. After all, nearly everyone is satisfied, right? Likewise, a high school faculty that is happy with normal graduation rates, which also would then include normal dropout rates, could also be left and loose. And finally, a hospital whose administration is content with keeping infections within accepted norms is probably left and loose. None of these organizations will make the leap to great performance as long as they are content with the left and loose normal curve. However, Even these organizations have pockets of great performance, teams who are consistently right and tight. One example of great performance is the Erasmus Medical Center near Rotterdam in the Netherlands. As with the rest of the world, European hospitals face a disturbing increase in lethal hospital-acquired infections, also known as HAIs, which are estimated to account for two-thirds of the 25,000 hospital deaths each year on the continent. At Erasmus Medical Center, infections were still within acceptable limits, but administrators were determined to wipe them out. To achieve their WIG, they adopted a set of lead measures they called Search and Destroy, which eliminated all HAIs within 2 years. To their credit, the entire hospital system of the Netherlands followed their lead. By definition, hospitals are filled with sick people. Germs abound, and most hospitals seem content with infection rates within accepted norms. However, for a high-performance team like the administrators of the Erasmus Medical Center, the only acceptable infection rate was zero. That meant moving the middle in a big way. The Erasmus team moved a left and loose curve to the right and tight within a matter of months. Vulnerable patients stopped getting sick and dying. Now, you should realize that most hospitals do not lack the know-how to get these same results. But as the famous University of Kentucky basketball coach Adolph Rupp once said, "Whenever you see a man on top of a mountain, you can be sure he didn't fall there." If you could move the middle toward the summit of performance, imagine the impact on results and how significant it would be. You do that by consistently motivating new and better behavior, which is the ultimate aim of 4DX. And in our experience, whether it's with hospitals, grocery chains, engineering firms, hotels, software companies, power plants, government contractors, or multi-unit retail operations, the outcome is almost always the same: a new culture of high performance along with consistent results. Getting there isn't easy, and it doesn't happen overnight. It takes focus and discipline over time to implement 4DX and to make it stick. Here's the pattern you can expect your results to follow. Everything in the implementation of 4DX begins with stage one, gaining clarity. As you launch 4DX in stage two, you will see your results improve quickly. But following that rise, we've noticed a plateau period as the team works to adopt the new mindset in stage three. Once the team members become habituated to 4DX, it starts to pay real dividends as they optimize their lead measures in stage four and go on to the creation of new habits in stage five. We began this book by pointing out that possibly the single greatest challenge you will face as a leader is driving a strategy that depends on changing human behavior. 4DX is a proven system for meeting that challenge, not just once, but again and again. In the following chapters, we will take you step by step through each discipline so that you can apply it with your team. Now that we've reviewed the five stages, let's take a look at installing Discipline 1. Discipline 1 is to focus on the wildly important. Superb teams begin with selecting one or two wildly important goals, what we've called WIGs. Focusing on these vital few goals is the foundational principle of all of 4DX, and without it, your team will likely get lost in the whirlwind. Many teams have multiple goals, sometimes dozens, all of which are considered priority one. Of course, when everything is priority one, it means that nothing is really priority one. A client of ours put it best: when you work on that many goals, you actually work on none of them, because the amount of energy you can put into each one is so small, it's meaningless. Selecting the right WIG is crucial. Leaders often hesitate to narrow their focus because they worry about the consequences of choosing the wrong WIG or failing to achieve it. Still, when you choose a wig, you're starting a game that matters, one where the stakes are high and the team can make a real difference. Discipline 1 is absolutely necessary if you're going to play to win. Step 1. Consider the possibilities. Begin by brainstorming possible wigs with your team. Although you might feel you already know what the wigs should be, you will end this process likely with an entirely different wig. In our experience, this happens often. You'll do this brainstorming differently depending on the kind of organization you belong to and the place of your team within the organization. For example, if your team is part of an organization that already has many goals, then you will want to gather ideas on which of the organization's existing goals are more crucial than the others. On the other hand, if your organization has already designated wigs at the highest level, you and your team will simply want to gather ideas on how to contribute to the established wig. And finally, if your team is the organization, for example, you're a small business or a nonprofit, then you will want to gather ideas that will have the most impact on achieving the mission or on growing the company. Now, let's talk about getting input. For gathering input, you have 3 options. First, you can brainstorm with peer leaders, especially if all of you are focusing on the same organizational wig. If you're concerned that these peers might not really understand your team's operation, remember, their outside perspective will still be valuable, particularly if you depend on them or if they depend on you. A second option is to brainstorm with your team or with a representative group from your team. Obviously, if your team is involved in selecting the wig, they will more quickly take ownership of it. And the final option is to brainstorm alone. You will still be able to validate the wig with the team when you develop your lead measures. Let's stop for a moment and talk about the principle of top-down or bottom-up. In essence, let's answer the question, should the wig come from the leader or from the team? With the top-down approach, a leader who imposes wigs without input from the team might have problems getting the team to own the wigs. If she drives accountability mostly through her authority, she probably won't develop a high-performance team and will pay a price in lost retention, creativity, and even innovation. Now let's consider bottom-up. Wigs that come exclusively from the team might lack relevance to the overall wig. And without strong direction from the leader, the team could lose valuable time and energy in getting consensus on every move. But in the 4 disciplines, we utilize both top-down and bottom-up. Ideally, both the leader and the team will participate in defining the wigs. Only the leader can provide the clarity about what matters most. The leader is ultimately responsible for the wig, but shouldn't engage team members solely through the exercise of authority. To reach the goal and to transform the team, team members must have active input in defining the wig. Remember this principle: no involvement, no commitment. We've also found 3 questions are particularly useful when you're discovering your wig. First, which one area of your team's performance would you want to improve most, assuming everything else holds where it is, in order to achieve the overall wig of the organization? This question is far more valuable than asking, what's the most important thing we can do? A second question is to say, what are the greatest strengths of our team that can be leveraged to ensure the overall wig is achieved? This question will generate ideas in areas where your team is already succeeding, but also where they can take their performance to an even higher level. A final question that's helpful in discovering the wig is to ask, What are the areas where the team's poor performance most needs to be improved to ensure the overall WIG is achieved? This question will generate ideas around performance gaps that, if you don't improve, may actually represent a threat to achieving the WIG. When you're brainstorming, don't settle for just a few ideas. Gather as many ideas as you can reasonably capture. Our experience shows that the longer and more creative the list of possible WIGs, the higher quality the final selection. Remember also to think what, not how. Don't make the common mistake at this point of shifting your focus from the WIG itself to how you're going to achieve it. The how is the new and better behavior that will lead to the WIG, what we call lead measures. And that discussion comes later when we're focusing on discipline two. For example, a 5-star hotel chain had this as their overall WIG. Increase total profit dollars from $54 million to $62 million by December 31st. Various departments in the hotel then brainstormed ideas for their team WIGs. For example, in the housekeeping team, the ideas were to clean the guest rooms like they've never been cleaned before. The team even said, "We're already the best, but let's get better." In the restaurant, ideas for the WIG included making alliances with local sports and culture venues. The valet parking team set a WIG to ensure no one waits for their car. And finally, in the reception area, to move guests through the system more quickly. Now let's look at the actual list of ideas from one particular department in the hotel, the event management team. Since this group can impact profit both by increasing revenue and by reducing expenses, they brainstormed ideas to do both. So under the heading of increasing revenue, the ideas were to increase the number of corporate events and annual meetings held at the hotel. They also thought about increasing the average food and beverage sales per event. Their list also included increasing the percentage of events selecting the premium bar offering, increasing the weddings held at the hotel, and increasing the percentage of events who selected an all-inclusive option. All of these ideas were focused on increasing revenue. But the event management team also brainstormed ideas on how they might reduce expenses. These ideas included reducing overtime costs on every event, reducing the linen and the amenities costs, even reducing the overall food costs, and reducing or even eliminating costs for temporary help and outside labor for servers. This leads us to step two, ranking by impact. Once you're satisfied with your list of candidate ideas, you're ready to identify the ideas that promise the greatest potential impact on the overall organizational WIG. Calculating the impact of a team WIG depends on the nature of the WIG. For example, if the overall WIG in your organization is a financial goal, then you would rank your ideas in terms of things like prospective revenues or profitability, investment performance, cash flow, or even cost savings. If the overall WIG in your organization is a quality goal, then you might rank ideas in terms of efficiencies gained, cycle times, productivity improvements, or even customer satisfaction. If the overall WIG in your organization is a strategic goal, then you would rank your ideas in terms of service to the mission, competitive advantages you might gain, opportunities you would capture, or threats that you would reduce. Let's look at the event management team in this same hotel and meet Susan, who runs the event management team and is responsible for meetings and banquets and all special events that take place. As they applied step one, they identified team WIGs that would contribute to the overall WIG for the hotel of increasing profits. To narrow their list of ideas, they then calculated the financial impact of each one. It wasn't hard to identify the ideas that would generate the most profit for her team, but that wasn't the right focus. The real challenge was to rank the ideas in terms of impact on the overall organizational WIG. In other words, to find those few ideas that would generate the most profit for the entire hotel, not just Susan's team. When they did that ranking, corporate events and weddings rose to the top because they generated revenue beyond the event itself. After all, there were additional rooms booked by out-of-town guests, there were meals in the restaurants, and even spa services. Avoid the trap of selecting WIGs that improve the team's performance, but might have little to do with achieving the overall WIG. In the end, Susan and her event management team chose two candidate WIGs that would clearly have the greatest impact on the overall hotel WIG. They were to increase corporate events and annual meetings, and to increase the number of weddings held at the hotel. A major drug company used this same narrowing process to identify their WIG. Shorten time to market for new products from approximately 7.5 years to 5 years. For this company, 1 year's sales of a blockbuster product averages more than $1 billion. So the old saying, time is money, is no joke to them. Clive, who runs the Regulatory Affairs Division, oversees the process of getting drugs approved by the medicine control authorities of various nations. Every new drug has to go through a complex application process that's different for each country. In step one, the team developed these candidate WIGs. One, write application documents that meet the criteria for every country instead of a different application for each country. Two, hire some former regulators as consultants. Three, eliminate mistakes in the application documents. And four, lobby governments to broaden their criteria for fast-tracking a new drug so that it can get to market faster. Some team members argued forcefully for candidate WIG number two, hiring former regulators as consultants, because they felt their own department lacked expertise. Others believed government agencies were to blame and wanted to spend their efforts on candidate WIG number four, lobbying the governments to broaden their criteria. WIG number one, writing application documents that would meet the criteria for every country, was also important because meeting so many different criteria was so frustrating. But when they finally examined all of their ideas in light of the overall WIG, which was to shorten time to market, they discovered something they hadn't noticed before. The authorities kept sending applications back to get mistakes corrected and unclear items explained. These delays were actually doubling the amount of time it took to get approval. And from that point of view, candidate WIG number three, eliminating mistakes in the application documents, was the obvious choice for the team's entire focus. In a similar example, a large Scandinavian shipping company announced three goals for the year: to improve quality, improve productivity, and reduce costs. Stein was the leader responsible for loading and unloading containers at a company facility in Norway. He recognized that the corporate goals were hazy, but he was eager for his team to contribute measurably to all three WIGs. Many reasonable candidate WIGs came out of a 4DX work session, such as increase the maintenance of onshore cranes to reduce downtime. Two, getting everyone certified in Six Sigma to improve the loading process. And three, rebuilding the depot at the railhead to smooth the flow of containers to the ships. Each of these candidate WIGs impacted one of the three company goals, but not all of them at once. Now, Stein had read on the web about a Malaysian port that had recently broken the world record for the number of container moves per hour. The team at that port had offloaded a giant ship in only 7 hours, half of the average time. He told his team all about it, and their competitive spirit was fired up, and their energy led to the choice of a final WIG. Double our number of container moves per hour. Achieving this WIG would require maximum productivity and maximum quality. But the cut in hours would automatically mean a cut in costs. Now, let's examine step 3, testing your top ideas. Once you've narrowed your list to one or two high-impact WIG candidates, you must now test them against 4 specific criteria for a wildly important goal. The first is obvious. Is the idea aligned to the overall WIG? Second, is it measurable? Third, who owns the results, the team or some other team? And fourth, who owns the game, the team or the leader? Let's discuss each of these tests in more detail. The first test is it aligned to the overall WIG? In other words, is there a seamless line of sight between the candidate WIG and the overall WIG? To create meaningful team WIGs, you should have a clear line of sight between your team and the WIGs of the overall organization. Although this test may seem obvious, many teams become so excited about an idea that they actually forget to focus on achievement of the overall WIG as their top priority. If the idea you're considering fails this test, eliminate it and choose another high-impact idea from your brainstorming list. The second test, is it measurable? As one of our clients put it, if you're not keeping score, you're just practicing. A game without a clearly measurable score will never be a game that matters. A WIG requires that a credible measurement be in place from the day you begin executing. If significant effort is going to be required before you can begin measuring, for example, with the performance of a system that hasn't been developed yet, it should be crossed off for now. Once that system is up and running, you can reconsider it. But the time invested in a game without a score will be time lost. The third test is who owns the result. Do you and your team have at least 80% ownership of the result? This test is about eliminating significant dependence on other teams. The conceptual measure of 80% can help you determine how much your team will have to depend on other teams to achieve the WIG. If it's less than 80%, neither team will take full responsibility and accountability will be lost. Of course, if 2 teams own the same WIG, joint ownership can be a powerful driver of performance. But there is one requirement. Both teams and both leaders must understand that from this point forward, they win or lose together. The fourth test is who owns the game, you as the leader or your team? In other words, is it a leader's game or a team game? This final test is more subtle than the others, but it's equally important. The question here is whether results are driven by the performance of the leader or by the performance of the team. If the WIG depends too much on functions that only the leader performs, then the team will quickly lose interest in the game. The team WIG should depend primarily on what the team does, not just the leader. The failure to pass any of these tests should lead you to reevaluate the idea you're considering. Don't ask your team to play a game that's flawed. Under the pressure of accountability, those flaws will quickly become apparent. Now you're ready for step 4, defining the WIG. Once you've selected and tested your ideas for high-impact team WIGs, it's time to make them as clear and measurable as possible. You'll want to define your WIG according to the following rules. First, begin with a verb. Second, define the lag measure in terms of X to Y by when. Third, keep it simple. And fourth, focus on what, not how. Let's look at each of these rules in more detail. First, begin with a verb. Simple verbs focus the mind immediately on action. Almost all multisyllable verbs have simple equivalents. But long, overwrought introductions are also unnecessary. Just state the wig. Say something like, cut costs, grow revenue, raise customer satisfaction, add a new plant, or launch a new product. Don't begin like this. In order to drive increased value to our shareholders, enhance the careers of our employees, and remain true to our fundamental values, we will be implementing a wildly important goal this year to... Because by the time you get to the wig, you will have lost your team's interest. Second, define the lag measure in terms of X to Y by when. Remember that lag measures are the finish lines that tell you whether or not you've achieved your goal. They mark a precise finish line for the team, and you should write your lag measure in the format from X to Y by when. For example, in a goal to reduce error rate, the current result might be an 11% error rate, that would be your X, and the desired result, which would be your Y, might be to reduce it to 4%. So from 11% to 4% defines the X to Y, and the deadline, the date on which you and the team are accountable for the result, might be as simple as July 31st. So in this wig, we would say, reduce error rate from 11% to 4% by July 31st. Another wig might be to go from 8 inventory turns per year to 10 inventory turns per year, a major result. This wig would be stated as, increase inventory turns from 8 to 10 by the end of the fiscal year. And finally, another wig might be to increase the return on investment from 12% to 30%. And this might take a longer period of time, perhaps over 2 years. So this wig would be increase our annual return rate from 12% to 30% by the end of 2 years. Now let's talk about keeping it simple. Earlier we shared the startling fact that 85% of working adults cannot tell you their organization's most important goal. Most organizational goals are vague, complex, and even pretentious. Often you'll hear a leader state the goal by beginning like this. We are committed to enhancing and enriching our relationships with our customers. Instead of simply saying, we will raise our customer loyalty score from 40 to 70 by December 31st. Another leader might say, our principal aim for the coming fiscal year is to facilitate investment, infrastructure, and access growth through effective coordination. Instead of simply saying, we will increase customer utilization of our investment counseling service by 25% this fiscal year. And finally, another leader might say that the goal was to foster industry innovation by addressing needs for bio-based resources through biotechnology. Instead of simply saying, we will launch 3 $10 million bio products within the next 5 years. Now let's focus on what, not how. Many teams will define a very clear goal, only to then complicate it by adding what they feel is a necessary and lengthy description of how the goal will be achieved. Listen to this goal and see if you can hear both the goal and how it will be achieved. Increase guest retention from 63% to 75% over the next 2 years by providing exceptional customer experiences every single day. And how simply that wig could be stated by saying increased guest retention from 63% to 75% over the next 2 years. You see, you will identify how you plan to achieve the goal when you develop lead measures in Discipline 2. And as a result, the wig should focus exclusively on what the team plans to achieve. A few final points remain to be addressed. First, make sure your wig is achievable. We often see leaders who believe in setting goals that are far beyond anything their team can achieve. And these same leaders privately acknowledge that they'll be satisfied if they get even 75% of the goal they've given the team. This type of gamesmanship can significantly undermine your ability to drive both engagement and results. Now, we want to be very careful here. We are not advocating goals that are easy to reach. In fact, far from it. Set a goal that challenges the team to rise to their highest level of performance, but not a level that's beyond it. In other words, create a WIG that is both worthy and winnable. The final deliverable for all of the work we've done in implementing Discipline 1 is to have a team WIG with an appropriate lag measure. So let's go back to the example in the hotel of the event management team. Susan, the team's leader, ultimately selected Increase Corporate Events as the WIG, because they believed it would generate more revenue and consequently more profit for the hotel. Susan and her team then had to carefully consider their lag measure. Defining the gap between X and Y is a critical decision. The gap has to be challenging, but it also has to be realistic. She needed to create not only a game that mattered, but a game that her team felt they could win. The final WIG for Susan's team was one that was significant and clear, as well as being challenging. Increase revenue from corporate events